Now it happened that just a few days before the end of World War II, in fact, just 3 days before the end of World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Christian pastor who had opposed Hitler, who happens, incidentally, to be one of my personal heroes, was hung because of his resistance to Nazism. Before his death, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book which has lived long and been strong after him. Its title, The Cost of Discipleship. Now, if you've not read the book, I've got several copies of it in my study. I'd be happy to lend it to you. It's worth reading. What Bonhoeffer said in the book was simply this. There is a cost to pay for deciding to follow Jesus. Now, we sing the song. We like the song. Boy, we get into the song. I have decided to follow Jesus. Okay. But what we forget is that there is a cost to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself put it this way. If you want to be my disciple, he said, you must take up your cross every day and follow me. He says that if we're going to follow him, if we are truly going to be his disciples, there will be a cost, a cross that we have to carry personally each day in order to be his disciple. The poet asks, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? And he boldly answers his own question, no. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. See, there is a cross for every true believer of Jesus Christ to carry. That cross is the cost of being Jesus' disciple. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ requires us to pay a cost. And we don't like that. We want all the blessing, but none of the pain. Unfortunately, not so. I don't care what my colleagues may say to you. I don't care if they tell you that if you come to Jesus, all you're going to get is blessing. It's not so. And those of us who have walked with Jesus for a while will testify with me saying it's not so. There is a cost. To come out from among them and to stand before them as holy requires us to pay a price. Now remember that the Apostle Peter in the New Testament calls the church to be a holy nation and a royal priesthood. Peter echoes the call of the book of Leviticus, which for those of you who are new and may not know, we have been studying now for almost a year and are coming close to its end. I'm not anxious for it to end. What the book of Leviticus, what the Apostle Peter tells us is that we are to come out from the peoples of the world and stand before them as God's priest. Priests do two things. They intercede for the people before God, and they bring the message of God to the people. As a holy nation, as a royal priesthood, that is what we, the Church of Jesus Christ, are called to be. Priest. Who stand holy before the people, taking their cause to the Lord and bringing God's response to them. That's what he has called us to be. We are to be a royal priesthood, a group dedicated to leading others to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I have to stop here, and I have to tell you, you probably saw in the announcement time that when I talked about the star, I got all emotional. I get choked up. You know what chokes me up? Two things about this thing that Promise Keepers are doing. Number one, in my whole lifetime, the church has never acted like the body of Christ. Okay, we never have. Okay, it's not only my lifetime. It's the whole history of the church. The greatest concerted effort of the Church of Jesus Christ, when we all worked together to accomplish one thing, was the Crusades. And what we determined to do then was to wipe out the infidel and secure Christian Jerusalem. You want to know what I think? It's a horrible shame that we ever thought that way. And it's even a greater shame that that's the thing that amalgamated us and made us act like a unified organization, the body of Christ. You know how badly I want to see the church be the church? And you know when the church is the church? The church is the church when it's being a holy priesthood and a royal nation, when it's reaching out to the lost with bread and food and water and milk and money, saying, God loves you. God loves you. And the church is being the church when it is praying for the people that God loves, the people of Israel, that they may come to know God in His fullness. The possibility of 100 million Christians doing what God called us to do, being a holy nation and a royal priesthood, just like, man, makes me want to cry. And then I know that that is a sign that Jesus is coming. Not because we're going to get the world good and ready for Him, but because the only thing that will move us to do what He called us to do, move us to pay the cost of discipleship, is the knowledge that He is coming. So what God wants us to do is to come out and to be a royal nation, a holy priesthood, standing before the people of God, interceding for them before God, and bringing the word of God to them. But it requires us, if we're going to be God's priest, it requires us to pay a high price. It was in Duck's song 2 weeks ago. Okay, it's all around us this morning. We must set the example, not in our words alone, not just in our thoughts, but in the very way we live life. We must set the example so that those who do not know Jesus but look at us will say, I don't want it is, but I want it. I want what they've got. They're watching us now. The whole world is looking at the church and saying, But if we would honor the Lord and be to them what He is calling us to be, it means we must resolve to pay the price. First, there is a personal price to pay. Sharon read to you about it just a moment ago from the words of the book of Leviticus. She read just a little part. You need to go home and read the whole chapter. But the first thing the priest had to do, if he was going to pay the price to be God's priest, the first thing he had to do was not defile himself with unholy things. The example which is set before us is interesting. It says that a priest of God cannot be distracted from his requirements, his duties as a priest, even by the death of a loved one. In Israel, according to the law of Moses, contact with a dead body, even being in the presence of a dead body, being in the place where a corpse was, rendered you unclean for the entire day. If you were a priest of God, being rendered ceremonially unclean meant that you could not perform your priestly duties for that day. And what the text is telling us is that the priest has to be so committed to his task that he will not allow anything to get in the way of his doing his priestly function, not even the death of a loved one, a close friend. It says specifically that the only funerals he may attend are those of his immediate family, his mother, his father, his own child, his brother, his sister. But nobody else, no other funeral, because he cannot allow those things, those personal attachments, those human relationships to be more important to him than performing the duty of his call as a priest. And it's even harder for the high priest. It says that the high priest may not even attend the funeral of his mother or his father or his wife or anyone else. He is to be so devoted to his task as a priest that he will not allow anything to get in the way of the priority of holy things. His duty to God must be above every other duty. It must be the most important function of his life. It even supersedes his responsibility to his family. He is above all to be God's priest, and he is to remain God's priest at all times. First, and above all, he is God's priest. I'm going to set this real clear for you. Just get a little bit there. Okay? You are the priest. That's what the New Testament tells us. You are the priest. The one who functions in the place of the high priest is the pastor. Okay? So I'm the one who needs to set the high mark and the example. And in order to be the pastor, I have to be willing to pay the price. Because if I won't do it, I can tell you, you're not going to. Okay, so you look at me and you judge for yourself. Is he willing? Will he do it? And then you resolve for yourself. What he is telling us in the book of Leviticus, what he tells us in the New Testament, is if we're going to be the priest of God, we cannot allow anything else to be more important than our responsibilities and the duties of our priesthood. And then the second thing he talks about in the chapter that Sharon, from which Sharon read to you, but the part she didn't read, is that the priest must be careful about his appearance. Now this one is a little tough, and I'm sorry about this, Ken. Okay, specifically for you. But it says that if we're going to be a priest, we cannot shave our head. Okay? So if you're sitting here with a bald head, you're in trouble. Okay? But then, for the rest of you, it says that we can't shave the edges of our beard either. We're supposed to let it grow wild like the Amish. Okay? And then it says that we are not to cut ourselves. We're not to be into self-cutting if we are priest. Now, at first glance, I was a little confused by this. I was really wondering whether I needed to take Ken aside and Mark and some others and have a long talk about haircuts. And then I got to thinking about, well, what, maybe I need to start letting my beard grow. Okay. And then I thought, no, maybe you better look at what this means. And what I discovered in my study is that Israel is moving from Egyptian culture into Canaanite culture. And apparently the Canaanite men were into these fashion trends. And one of the fashion trends among Canaanite men was shaving off all their hair. So all the Canaanite men are bald. It's a big fashion statement. And they apparently like to do fancy things with their beards. Apparently they're cutting patterns into their facial hair. Okay, sometimes you see kids, you know, that have haircuts that have things cut in their their side sides of their heads. They're apparently doing the same thing with their beards. Okay? And what Moses is telling them is that they cannot become absorbed by Canaanite fashion trends. They aren't to look like the world. They are to come out from among them and be holy. They are to stand different before the people. So when somebody looks at a priest of God, he is to think priest. Now, I was talking about this in the class yesterday. I was saying to them, you see the Hasidic Jews have the curls on the sides of their heads? They take it from this passage. They are not cutting the edges of their beards. Okay? However, Canaanite Jews, or Hasidic Jews, think nothing of going to bars, being in pornographic shops, going to strip clubs. When you look at a Hasidic Jew, do you know he's a Hasidic Jew? If you ran across one in a strip club, what would you think about his witness? So listen to me. If we're going to stand out in front of them and be different, if we're going to mark ourselves as being different, there is a price to pay. Because when they look at us and say, Christian, because we got a big diamond cross hanging on our chest, okay, we better be really careful that there is more to it than just the image. But what he's telling the Jews in this passage is not to get caught up in the cultural practices of the heathen people who live amongst them. They are to come out from among them and be holy. And then he says, catch this one. Same chapter in the book of Leviticus. The priest must choose his spouse carefully. He is not free to marry just anybody. The priest had to pick a woman to marry who would understand and share his dedication to God, because if he started messing around with somebody else, a Canaanite woman, a woman who even amongst the Jews was not totally committed to God, she would undermine his ability to do the duty of a priest. So he needed to choose his wife carefully. It's part of the cost of being a disciple. And then he tells us the priest must keep his household in order. He must raise his children to be dedicated to God. Now, in Israel, this is extremely important because the priesthood is inherited. If you are born in the priestly family, you are expected to follow your father's footsteps and the footsteps of your grandfather and your grandfather and your grandfather. In the tradition of Aaron, you are to be a priest. Now listen to me. There are examples in the scripture of the sons of priests who did not share the commitment of their parent because their parent did not teach them properly how to be a priest of God. They rebelled against God. They died in their rebellion. And all the text is saying is, if you can't manage your own family, how will you possibly manage the kingdom of God? Now, you ready for this? Every one of those requirements is echoed in the New Testament. The New Testament echoes every one of the requirements I have just read to you. Now, this makes me, I get a little nervous here, okay, because I don't think you're catching it. You're all sitting there going like this. He's being dull today. You are the priest of God in the world today. And these old requirements that come to us for priest out of the book of Leviticus are completely and entirely reinforced in the writing of the New Testament. They are old and they are new. So they therefore apply to us as priest. We must pay the cost. So here's the deal. Okay? You cannot allow yourself to be defiled by unholy concerns. The most important priority in your life must be your service to God. As the song we sang this morning says, the greatest thing in all my life is serving you. And if you're not willing to pay the cost, you can't be a priest. Or you will be an inadequate priest who misleads people because you teach them something other than what the scripture says. If you want to be a priest, you cannot be lured into the fashions of the culture. You can't be. So you can't be a girl who wears a skirt that looks like a belt. You can't be a priest and be dressed that way. Okay, you ready? Okay, if you're a man, okay, you got to be careful about what your appearance says to others. So you can't have your pants exposing your palm up. Okay? Because it's not about you. It's about what those people looking at you are going to think if they see you. And if you don't want to pay the price, you can't be a priest. Or if you are, you will be a priest who misleads people into thinking what they ought not think. It's going to get touchy now. You ready? If you are a priest, you must choose your spouse carefully. Oh, there are today who I know will testify with me. They didn't pay any attention to that. They went right ahead and married somebody who did not share their commitment to Jesus Christ. And some of you who did that know you have paid a price. You're sitting here today paying the price because you didn't listen to the word of God. Right? And there are others of you who are making the same mistake. If you're a Christian person and you are dating, stay away from non-Christians. Dating is not an evangelistic service. The reason being, if you get hooked up with them, you will suffer. And your life will be diverted from the duty you owe to God as a priest. And that must be more important in your life than any other thing. You've never heard me say this before, right? It's like news. Okay? Come out from among them. If you won't pay the price of being holy and standing apart holy, you will pay a price in this regard. And if you want to be a priest of Jesus Christ today, you must keep your household in order. Children, watch us. They are looking at us all the time. When we think they aren't looking, they're watching. And they learn more from what they see us do than they do from what they hear us say. And as a result of what they see, they will learn how to follow Jesus Christ. So if we would lead our children to Christ, if we would indeed be priest to our own family, we must pay the price. There are some places I cannot go. There are some things I can not do. Because there is a price. And if I would be God's servant above all, if I would be God's priest, if I want to come out and stand before them holy, so that I might bring them to a loving God, I must pay the price.